This is a debate that has been going on for decades. Should marijuana, recreational marijuana, be legal? And should it be legal in Connecticut and New York? And really, why shouldn't it? With just a short drive from here, you can get it in Massachusetts. You drive a little bit more, you're in Canada, it's legal there. If you really want to drive a lot, go down to Uruguay. It's also legal there. But hold on. What message does it send to our kids? And some say marijuana, no matter what other people say, they say that marijuana is addictive. Welcome to the full story on WSHU and online at WSHU.org. I'm Ron Ropiak. We want to hear from you. What do you think about this? Tweet us at FullStoryWSHU. Email TFS at WSHU.org or call us 833-CALL-TFS. That's 833-225-5837. We have a number of guests today, and I have to tell you, we have a number of emails and voicemails already. People want to be heard about this. Let me start with Matt Simon. Matt is the New England political director for the Marijuana Policy Project. He works with the Connecticut Coalition to Regulate Marijuana. Matt, thanks for being with us. How close is Connecticut to legalizing now that Ned Lamont is the governor-elect? He's in favor of it.
Well, thank you for having me, Ron. Certainly appears to be at least in play now that this could happen in 2019. The new governor-elect has said he wants to make it a priority in next year's session, and why not?
What about over in New York State?
Well, similarly, there were some gains made in the legislature, and the governor signaled support for doing it. So it could happen as soon as 2019 in New York State as well. Really, every state in the region's in some phase of looking at this, and the wind does seem clearly to be blowing in the direction of doing it. It's just a matter of whether to pull the trigger on that in 2019 or whether it will be delayed another year or two, perhaps.
Sam Tracy is the head of the Connecticut Coalition to Regulate Marijuana. Sam, according to your projections, how much money would Connecticut make every year by legalizing?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And the numbers are a little rough just because it does depend on so much of exactly what details the legislature decides on. And this would be totally up to the legislature. Unfortunately, we don't have ballot initiatives in Connecticut. But if we looked at Colorado's numbers and some of the numbers from other states, we estimate that Connecticut could bring in, once the program's up and running, about $180 million in new tax revenue every year. So it wouldn't solve the budget crisis by itself, but it would solve about 10% of it, which for one policy change that is already happening in Massachusetts and other nearby states, I think is something the legislature should definitely address.
Just as an aside, and I just thought of this, how much money do you think is being spent on buying marijuana in Connecticut right now in the black market?
I don't have the number off the top of my head, but I'd say it's in far excess of $180 million, since that's just the estimated tax revenue that we estimate coming in. So it is many hundreds of millions of dollars every year. That's the reality with prohibition. There are still tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people using cannabis all over the state. So I think that we should be regulating it and taxing it just for looking out for their public health and, the general public, too.
Deepak Cyril D'Souza is a professor of psychiatry at the Yale School of Medicine. He's a research expert on cannabis. Dr. D'Souza, thank you for being with us today. And a very simple question for you. From your research and your experience, is marijuana addictive?
Thanks for having me on the show. The very simple answer is yes.
Many people that I have known over the years who smoke say that it is not. What is there in your research that says that it is?
So we define addiction as in many different ways, but there are common principles to defining whether a drug is addictive or not. It includes, does a person spend a lot of time acquiring the drug? Does a person spend a lot of time being under the influence of the drug? Does a person spend a lot of time and money trying to quit using it or recovering from it? Does the person have problems within their social functioning and their work life or their personal life that is affected by their use of a drug? And by all those accounts, yes, marijuana, like other other known addictive drugs is addictive. So there's no question about that. Another way of looking at it more objectively is by looking at what happens to the brain in people who consume cannabis on a regular basis. And one of the...
Just, doctor, on a regular basis, do you mean every day, once a week, once a month?
Once a day, everyday use. So what happens when the brain is exposed to a drug, let's say it's opioids, nicotine, alcohol, is the brain responds by kind of resetting or down-regulating those receptors at which the drug works at. And we showed in a study that was published 2 years ago, and this has been supported by now two other independent groups, that in people who use cannabis on a daily basis, we see about a 15% reduction in brain cannabinoid receptors. What this means is that this is a common common phenomenon that is associated with any kind of addiction. So on many levels, another way of putting it is that, you know, is withdrawal. People who are regular users of cannabis, some of them report a cannabis withdrawal syndrome, which was not well recognized until fairly recently. In fact, the latest edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual that is used by people who practice do mental health work, or DSM-5 as it's known, now includes cannabis withdrawal as a well-recognized syndrome when people attempt to quit. And in fact, those withdrawal symptoms often contribute to people having to go back to using marijuana even when they're trying to quit.
Sam Tracy, I'm going to get to you in a moment so that way you could respond, but I want to hear from William Hune. He goes by Bo. He's a Connecticut representative of a national organization known as SAM, Smart Approaches to Marijuana. Bo, thanks for coming into the studio today. You work with a number of young people in the Guilford area, and you've told me about what they think about pot nowadays, marijuana, and so on. Have you seen an increase with vaping and the use of marijuana the last few years? What are the teens telling you?
Yeah, absolutely there's an increase out there. I'm involved with a community effort to change the culture of teen alcohol and drug use in Guilford. And we got the superintendent of schools, the first selectman, the principals, the scout leaders, a whole bunch of different nonprofit groups to all work together 50-50 with youth leaders in town to see if we could change the culture, if we could cut ourselves loose from the national culture of teen drug abuse. Our kids a couple years ago told us that all of our efforts were going to be wasted if marijuana gets legalized. They say that kids already are changing their view of whether there's any risk associated with marijuana, and that this is really the coming thing. And vaping is very widespread.
Let me just be accurate about this. What ages are we talking about?
Our youth leaders are mostly high school kids, but we are also working with building up groups in the two middle schools, the 5th, 6th, and then 7th, 8th. So we got pretty wide representation, and the interesting thing we found was that when the kids kind of took control of our efforts and were willing to stand up and speak out, that other kids in town could look around and see that, in fact, most kids weren't doing drugs, weren't using alcohol, and that the youth efforts really were far more important than those by the adults. So it's really been fun.
Sam Tracy and Matt, what do you think about when you hear Dr. D'Souza saying, look, it is addictive, and why should Connecticut people, Connecticut legislators, say that it's okay to legalize something like this? Wouldn't then it would just be causing another problem in our community? Sam,
yeah,
I'll start with you.
I think I actually agree on most of the points that the previous two speakers had, because, I mean, if you look at the scientific literature, I think it's absurd to claim that marijuana is completely harmless, but that's not what we're claiming. I acknowledge that cannabis is addictive for some people, but if you do look at the rates of addiction, it is still lower than legal drugs like nicotine and alcohol. And on the other hand, we also are not at all in support of youth and underage people using cannabis. That's why all of our proposals set the age limit at 21 and include funding for prevention efforts. And I think society already does make all sorts of distinctions about what is appropriate for children versus what's appropriate for adults. You know, cigarettes are legal, but everyone knows that they're bad for you. But that doesn't mean that a better policy approach to cutting down cigarette smoking would be arresting people who possess cigarettes and, you know, giving felonies to people who grow a tobacco plant in their backyard. I think we all acknowledge that that's a pretty absurd approach, but we're still doing that for cannabis. And it just doesn't make sense, especially because of so many other states. Now, Michigan just last week became the 10th state to legalize marijuana. So it is clear that the whole country is shifting here, and we can legalize while still acknowledging both the potential side effects and the harms of cannabis.
Matt, I'll get to your reaction in just a moment. We're going to have to take a break, but we want to get your voicemails, your emails. Please call us, 833-CALL-TFS. That's 833-225-5837. You can email us, tfs@wshu.org, or tweet us at @FullStoryWSHU. Let me take a moment also to tell you about tomorrow's show. The political landscape in our area has really changed with this past election. More women, more young people, more Democrats. Are you one of those? Why did you vote the way you did? We want to hear from you for tomorrow's show. Call us, those same numbers. Leave us voicemails, leave us emails, tweet us. This is The Full Story on WSHU. We'll be right back.